Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Randy.
I am Dak.
And this is Ryan.
And we are in a different location together. This is my first time here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Studio R. Studio R for Ryan.
As in Ryan's house.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a technical difficulty this morning with, not a big deal. We think it's recording properly. We'll find out. Actually, if you're listening to this, then you know it recorded properly.
I think we'll know real quick.
And if you're not hearing anything, it didn't happen, so yeah. That's okay. Hey, listen, this is going to be a fun episode this week. We've spent a lot of time talking about different lands at different parks, especially Magic Kingdom, which is known for its themed lands, Frontierland, Fantasyland, Tomorrowland, which we haven't covered because... But this week we go to the world of Animal Kingdom. That didn't make sense. The world of Animal Kingdom. We're going to Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the world of...
Pandora. Yeah. So this week's episode, we're going to be covering the 8 things we love the most about Pandora. The world of Pandora.
Yeah. Right? Is that the official name of that land?
That's a
great
question.
Or is it just Pandora?
I just call it Pandora.
Well, I mean, the signs, when you walk into Animal Kingdom,
it's just
a sign, and the sign just says, Africa, Pandora.
But I think on the freeway, the signs read, World of Pandora. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to fact check ourselves.
I mean, Pandora is the name of the planet,
yeah,
right, in the movies.
But it's not Planet of Pandora.
No, it's the Planet parks. Of the Apes. All right, we're off the rails already. So I think this will be really fun and talking about some of the things we love about it.
Okay, so here's the official name. Pandora, the world of Avatar. That is the official land.
See, that doesn't
name.
Make sense. There's no planet called Avatar.
Yeah. It's a world.
we're stepping into this world that James Cameron has created.
Yes.
There was another thing recently that I learned had a really long, kind of goofy name, and I can't remember what it is anymore, but what was it? It'll come to me later, but we'll just stick with Pandora for short.
Oh, I know what it was, because I listened to your podcast.
Yeah, it was on the other show.
By the way, nice plug for Randy and his wife Kayla's podcast. It's a great listen. You should give it a listen, but it was...
Do you want to give the name of the podcast?
Wow, we're off to a great start here.
Whistle while you work.
Sorry, I'm laser focused on the name.
Yeah, now I know. Now it's
so right. It's Moana, the Moana. No.
Journey into Water.
That's it.
Inspired by Moana. It was Journey into Water.
Yeah.
Something.
Look
Moana.
It up, Dick.
Anyways.
Sorry, listen, folks, I'm just a big dumb animal. So if I'm focused on saying one thing, until I get that one thing out, I'm not going to... I know the name of your podcast is Whistle While You Work. I just was focused on Moana and
so you know
her
what's
world of water.
You know what's interesting about Pandora is I was thinking about this yesterday when you told us what the topic was going to be. And, you know, I think when you look at a lot of the lands or the attractions at Disney, there is... sentimental and emotional connection to those, like Pirates of the Caribbean, Small World, Big Thunder Mountain. There's an emotional connection that's been there for a long time. And sometimes that connection is tied to the movies, right? Love Pirates of the Caribbean movies. When I think of Pandora or World of Pandora, World of Avatar.
There you go.
Like, I've seen the first movie maybe twice. I have not even seen the second movie yet.
Oh, you haven't seen the second movie yet?
I don't know what I've been waiting for, but I would say I probably like this land more than I like the movie.
Yeah,
listen,
I don't care for the movies, to tell you the truth.
I had never seen the movies. I had never seen Pandora until about...
Avatar.
Avatar, excuse me, yeah. Until about 2 years ago. I'd gone to Rode the Banshees, all of that, Flight of Passage, seen the whole, been to the, obviously, Disney World multiple times. I'd never seen Pandora, but like, to your point, Ryan, the theming and the land itself is so immersive that it, I don't know that you have to see the movies to get what's going on there.
I mean, I think it does help give you some context, but I don't think that context is super necessary to have a great, enjoyable experience. I'll just say about the movies, I remember seeing it in the theater. I've seen it a few times, and I saw it in the theater originally a couple times because, honestly, Avatar was the first really major 3D movie that kind of turned the whole technology on.
I forgot they used to do 3D movies.
Yeah, yes. That's the thing. It turned the whole thing. That's what really started the 3D in the theaters kind of and technologically, it was absolutely incredible. The movie itself, you know, I don't know, left some to be desired. Super long, unnecessarily so in parts. The second movie, pretty much like the first movie in just a different setting on
the planet. Is it better than the first movie, in your opinion?
No, I don't think it's better. It's not better, it's not worse. It just is.
All
right. Well, should we get into it? 8 things we love the most?
Yeah, the movies are not part of that.
Yes, movies are out. They came in at number 11 on things we love the most.
I will say, just to kick it off, at Animal Kingdom, it's definitely my favorite part of the park.
And I think for a lot of people, it's that way.
Yeah.
I've never thought about that.
When we go through these 8 things that we have here, like, they are literally the reasons I want to go to Animal Kingdom, with one exception, and that would be Expedition Everest. That's the other reason I want to go to Animal Kingdom.
When it's working.
You know, when we've done these lists, we haven't done them in any particular order, so it's not a countdown to, like, our number one or whatever, which is not normal for our show. Usually we rank everything we do, right? But in this case, on these things we love the most about, this is just in any particular order. So to kind of kick that off, like what you were saying, Randy, one of the things that I love the most about Pandora is just the entire ambiance and feel that you get as you walk into the land. I mean, from the moment you, no matter where you're coming from, so the two entrances are from the backside of Africa, where you're coming from, like the Lion King and that backside over there where they have the DVC location. And then the more popular side, I guess you could call it, is the main entrance coming in right off of that branch of the, you know, as you're breaking off to either go to Africa or go to Pandora, just as you turn left from the Tree of Life.
Yeah.
But my point is that the minute you start to walk in, you start to hear little sounds, you start to see the plant life change, and you hear the animals. Well, they're not animals, obviously, they're pumped in sounds, but it's just, again, we've talked about this before, the Imagineers start tapping into those senses of sound and sight and even smell. The ground starts to feel different. And it just begins to engulf you in the story of Avatar.
I think that's what's so amazing about Animal Kingdom in general, right? You're there in, frankly, a wilderness immediately, right? Almost a jungle setting as you walk in the first time. And you're hearing two things while you're there. You're hearing sometimes artificial sounds, and sometimes you're actually hearing actual animal sounds, different things that happen, you know. Birds as they fly by, like, those are real birds. They're not government drones, okay? They're real birds making real sounds. And so by the time you get into Pandora and you make this beautiful transition into a different realm, by the time you get there, it's really interesting because it's seamless, but there's real depth to it, right? The depth of, I feel like I am actually in another world, because we don't have floating mountains. Well, we kind of do, actually, but not like real floating mountains like you see in the Avatar movies.
Yeah, and I think another thing that they did really well was, right as you're coming into the entrance, if you remember, they have that gigantic interactive plant. I don't even know that it has an official name, but it's really cool because you can go up and you can, like, rub the side of it and it'll rumble and make noise, and if you pat one section of it long enough, it squirts out water, and it just again, it's a great welcome.
Is this what your kids do to you?
I didn't know that it squirted water.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, yeah. So if you go up, you know what I'm talking about. It's gigantic, right? And you go up and there's like this plastic part of it that you can go right up next to it and start touching it and patting it, and it'll rumble and make noise. But if you just keep banging on this thing, eventually like the rumbling grows and grows and grows, and then it like mists and shoots out water.
So it's at the it's the entrance opposite of Galaxy's Edge. So when you come in from the kind of the main thoroughway there.
Yeah. Not Galaxy's,
Galaxy's
Edge.
Galaxy's Edge.
Sorry.
Africa?
Africa?
Africa.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, yeah. I've been up since 4:30.
I mean, so. Galaxy far, far away for sure.
Yeah, well, two distant planets, you know.
So anyway, so yeah, I love it. I love it because it's just, again, it's, and maybe what we call this is the immersive experience of Avatar Pandora. I don't know what to call it. Anyways, this land that we love, that's what I think is a great reason to love this land, as they did. The Imagineers did such a great job. And then, of course, we've already mentioned his name, working with James Cameron to make sure that he signed off on everything and it felt right for him as well. I mean, he created this world. And so that's a top reason why we love Pandora.
And I remember when they were building it and you would see the floating mountains from a distance and you're like, what? I'm not seeing what they're doing there. But then once it all got put together and you get into the land, it's, I mean, they make the floating mountains work.
Well, and I think the floating mountains are amazing because it is one of those elements you can see from outside the park. You see it as you're driving up into the
parking lot. Yeah, they don't do anything to cover it up. Yeah.
You know, it's fully visible, just like Mount Everest is. And I think it's part of what draws you in. You're like, what's going on there? You know, they had to be creative, obviously. We don't have floating mounts. We can't make them actually hover. There's some huge, huge trusses there that kind of support them and everything like that. But Imagineering-wise, the thought that went into how you kind of conceal it, almost like when you think about the big building that houses Guardians of the Galaxy and how they painted it all in no-see-um blue, right? No see them. That's the actual color palette that they use, but so that you can't see it. There's been so many times when I've looked out across the horizon at the Guardians building, and it just, my vision just skips right past it. I'll be looking at it, but I'm just skipping past it because they make that blend. Even these huge trusses holding up floating mountains are things that I just don't think about when I'm looking at it. I'm thinking about, wow, that's amazing that they're able to have something like this up in there. How do they do that?
Yeah, actually, I was watching the Imagineering series for like the 18th time, and it was on this particular thing. And what it is, so let's just go to that. Our number two thing that we love the most about Pandora is the floating mountains, or that whole area just called the Valley of Moara, I think is how you say
Moara.
It. Moara. Anyways, so on this Imagineering series, they kind of peel back the curtain, obviously, and they show you that that's just a suspension bridge.
Yeah.
But just the idea, man, and the way...
Ruined the magic, Dak.
Yeah, thanks. No, the engineering behind that of just coming up with, hey, this is how we could actually do it. And, you know, and they kind of walk you through how that works and how they came up. But just that whole area, I mean, talk about it. Instagram content person's dream is just the pictures that you can get in there, the interactive things that you can do. I'm not always crazy about it, but the kids can always go and bang on those, you know, drums, and just, there's just so many things going on there. The landscaping, which obviously I'm into, is phenomenal. I love just, again, how immersive that whole area is. And you know, we talk about forced perspective. That's one of the best forced perspective areas in all of the park, in my opinion. As you're looking up at Flight of Passage and everything, and you see all the waterfalls, and I mean, it's real.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in reality, it's not real, right? Like, I think one of the waterfalls is actually like just a wagon wheel or something like that.
Yes. So here's part of it, too. I think it's important to not lose sight of the fact of both how well they blend the real with the fantasy.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole lot of what looks like flora and fauna that is not real, there is a tremendous amount of native indigenous species to this planet that we actually live on, and they're able to blend that in so seamlessly to make it look like something different, even though it's something that, depending on where you live, you could see all the time. Particularly, you'd see a lot in Florida, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Florida is home to some incredible, incredible species of plant and flower and whatever. They do a great job of trying to blend those things together where you really have a hard time telling the difference apart. I would suspect that a lot of people just assume everything is fake without realizing how much of it is live.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And again, just, man, I love that area. I love just, it's very calming and very, like, mind-blowing at the same time, right? It's very peaceful with all the sounds and everything going on. And then as you just kind of sit back and look up and look around and realize how engulfed you are in the story, it's amazing.
You know, and I think, too, last time we were there, this would have been January, our guys' trip, I was taking a picture of, I mean, adding to my collection of 1,000 pictures that I have of Disney. And a cast member, she pointed out this waterfall I had never noticed before, just up.
Yeah, in high,
the, high up there.
Yeah,
just and just stuff like that that you don't notice all the time. And she, oh, yeah, there's a waterfall up there. I'm like, where? Up there, see? A little tiny waterfall. I'm like, that's cool. Like, just the small details that these Imagineers added in.
And I can't remember. I think there's a number of them, and there's only like a couple of them that are like really kind of real waterfalls.
Yeah.
The rest
actual
are kind
water.
Of these.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the rest of them are kind of more simulated. And yeah. But you really can't tell.
You have to be looking for them.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, staying on this ambiance theme and the immersiveness of it, I think the next thing we go into is if you get the chance to, we were talking about this in the pre-show, Animal Kingdom itself typically closes 6-7 o'clock at night. Rarely does it stay open later than that because the animals obviously need to go to sleep and get their peace and quiet. But Pandora at night is one of the most amazing experiences that you can have, right? So they have the special paint that they've used on the ground and everything that's bioluminescent, the lighting that they've used to light up plants and light up areas is absolutely stunning. It's breathtaking. The sounds are a little bit louder. I think they turn the volume up on them because, again, if you imagine if you were in this world at night, the animals and the critters and all of that would be making more noise. And it just is
just so, like you'd find in a real jungle.
Yes, right, right, right. Yeah. I mean, it's just, again, it goes to how engulfed they want you in that storyline that you really are in Avatar, right? The world of Avatar and Pandora.
I think that's the difficult part is that everybody says the same thing. Pandora at night is the absolute most immersive, best ambiance, the best lighting schemes, the sounds. It's unfortunate that they don't have that year round. Right now in summertime, you can't get that.
Yeah.
You have to wait till wintertime to be able to see it at night. And even then it's like you may get an hour.
You get an hour, maybe two if you're really lucky. Yeah. I do think it's a little bit of a shame. I don't know how you'd do it otherwise, so it's, you know, it's hard to complain about it, but I'll complain about it anyways because I do think it's actually, in my opinion, so if I were ranking things in of what I love about Pandora, and I was talking about what do I love about the ambiance, the atmosphere, the surroundings, the culture, that's number one.
Yeah.
Nighttime, the nighttime experience trumps it all. Every time you say bioluminescence, I keep thinking of Toma Toa from Moana talking about bioluminescent algae.
Yeah.
but it is. It's absolutely amazing how they do it because it adds another layer into your immersion of this land. You've seen it during the day and you're like, wow, that's really incredible. But at nighttime, you can't see those trusses on the suspension bridge holding it up. It's actually a floating mountain because the lighting is perfect to you know, kind of camouflage even better the things that are suspending it up there. You can't see deep into the flora and fauna to even really determine what's real, what's not, because other things are glowing and lit up and doing stuff that kind of helps add more perspective to the rest that you see there. It's absolutely incredible. And then, of course, as you turn the noise up, the native noise of Pandora, as you turn it up, you're saying to yourself, I'm really here.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. You know, go back to the movies a little bit. If you watch him, you say, what would it be like to have been there as you're watching them walk through the jungles of Pandora? Well, this is what it would be like. You're doing it now yourself.
For sure. I mean, even down to the detail of like the rustling of plants and leaves, and it's sounding like the animals are moving around you and getting close to you. It's very immersive, but let's move on to the food. So, in my opinion, Animal Kingdom and, well, not Animal Kingdom, excuse me, Pandora provides some of the best food options. I would say it rivals any other park or land in all of Disney World. So they have two restaurants there. Let's talk about each one and maybe a couple of options that you can get there. The first one is Pungu Pungu.
I wouldn't call that a restaurant.
Yeah, no, okay. No, no. Food option.
You threw me for a loop there. I'm like,
I was like, two restaurants.
Second,
like,
restaurant.
What am I missing out on?
Excuse me.
Okay. All right.
Dax sees a food cart, calls it a restaurant.
Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna get a meal out of it.
I can't give you too hard of a time. Almost every week, I'll say something that's completely untrue without realizing it. Kayla will call me out on that later, like, you know, you sound like an idiot, right? And I'm like, yeah, I know, but nobody knew that until you pointed it out. So,
listen, I'm going to get a meal.
Two food options.
Yeah. So two food options, restaurants, if you're me. Pungu Pungu is the first one I had on my list. I think they have two of the best snack options that you can get out there.
My favorites, actually.
Yeah. So I'll let you talk about the Pungu Lumpia. I think you get it more consistently than I do. But the Night Blossom, it's a non-alcoholic beverage. It's a mixture of
a frozen beverage.
Yeah, mixture of different fruit options, frozen fruit options. It comes with those, I always mispronounce them, boba.
Hopping boba.
Like Boba Fett.
Like Boba Fett.
It's delicious. Like, it is so refreshing, especially, on a hot Florida summer day, that that Night Blossom drink hits the spot every time.
The Night Blossom is the Animal Kingdom version of what Ryan and I have always fawned over at Magic Kingdom, LeFou's Brew. This is the Animal Kingdom version of it. It's my favorite. I almost never don't get one when I'm there. It's very rare that I don't get one when I'm there.
I don't think I've had one.
I love it. You're kidding.
What's it called again?
It's called a Night Blossom.
A Night Blossom.
Yeah, Night Blossom.
You got a picture, Dak?
Yeah, our listeners can really see that.
Listeners can't see the picture, but it's, man, it is so delicious.
It does look good.
It's
pink
absolutely
and green. It's a little
pricey. I'm a big drink guy. I don't know why I've never tried that.
You will love it. Next time we go, you'll definitely have to get one. The boba kind of add to it. And, you know, they serve it with this extra, it's an oversized straw, right? Just like they do with LeFou's Brew. So, you know, you never have an obstruction trying to get through there like you do when you get your Slurpee.
I ditch those paper straws. That's just me.
But anyways, so that's the Night Blossom. I love it. They do have an alcoholic version of it available. Once upon a time, they don't do this anymore, but actually way back in the day, they would serve it with a kind of souvenir glowing ice cubish looking thing that would kind of flash. They don't do that so much anymore, but it's kind of cool. The other snack option that I love there, though, and this is another one that rarely do I miss it, it's called the
Pungu Lumpia.
Pungu Lumpia, which is a lumpia, I think, is like a Filipino sort of pastry, but it's a little bit, it's like a phyllo dough, and it's stuffed with a pineapple cream cheese filling.
Yeah, it's so delicious.
It's fried phyllo dough with pineapple cream cheese filling. They serve it to you basically on some parchment paper. Absolutely delicious. Both of these snacks, so here's a pro tip for you. Both of these snacks will serve you well while you're waiting in a very long queue for Flight of Passage. That's usually where I eat and drink is in the line.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's kind of got little bits of pineapple in it, mm-hmm. shredded, and then little bits. It's just so good. It's like the spring roll
yep.
meets the
yeah,
fruit
it's like,
cream
it's like
cheese
the
version of it.
Spring roll, but yeah. good instead.
Yeah. Oh, hey, okay, then be fighting words.
Oh my gosh!
Don't be dissing my cheeseburger yeah, spring roll.
So that's a great option. Your other food option. This one, can I call this one a restaurant? Satuli Satuli Canteen.
Dex been practicing his
man
words.
Man alive. Satuli Canteen. Again, I would put this.
This is my favorite quick service restaurant.
I would match this
in all of the Disney
parks.
It's
a top three for me.
It's my favorite one.
I would match it up against any other quick service you want to throw at me at Disney World. I just think it is absolutely delicious. It's fresh. It's fresher foods.
Yeah.
It's a healthier option, I think, which I'm usually all about the, like, let's get it on, pig out. I want to eat unhealthy when I go to Disney World. I want to indulge. But Satuli Canteen is one of those options that just is so good, I'm okay with eating something a little bit healthy on it. So let's talk about a couple of the options they have there. So they have these bowls, and that would be our, what is this, number five or six for us on favorite things we love about Pandora. The bowls that they have there, the food bowls, are absolutely delicious. I've never had one that I've gotten that didn't taste absolutely amazing. So here's the breakdown of the bowls. They have a combination bowl of beef and chicken, an ocean moon bowl, not sure what's in that. Well, tuna. They have a shrimp bowl, and then they have by themselves a braised beef and a chicken bowl. So lots of options. They all run about anywhere from 13 to 18 bucks. So not cheap.
But they're not small portions.
But they're not small portions.
They definitely fill you up.
Here's some important things to know about Satuli Canteen. It is a quick service, which means that mobile ordering is available. And in fact, actually, it's the preferred method for you. So you should order beforehand. But it has an absolutely spectacular indoor seating arena for you.
Oh, yes.
It accommodates large families. There's special areas that actually you can get, you know, 6 to 8 and sometimes even 10 people around a particular area, some good benches. But they serve the food, and they do this in other quick services too, but they serve it with real silverware, with real dinnerware and stuff. It's pretty nice, so you don't throw all your stuff away. You're actually going to take your bowls and your everything else and put it away. They have, of course, like you find in other quick services, the fountain drinks that is self-service, and you're able to do it. But there's also outdoor seating available. So you've got indoor seating where you can be in the air conditioning, and you've got outdoor seating, which is fully covered. Well, like 90% covered outside, so you're still a little bit out of the sun. Traditionally, a lot of seating available.
Yeah.
The outside does tend to fill up with a lot of people who are not eating there. The really, what I think of as annoying people who like to just find chairs and sit there, and I'm like, you know, hey.
This restroom, is for the paying customers.
Restroom for patron only, okay? But that's okay. I prefer to eat inside anyways. But let me tell you, my favorite bowl, I always get this. It's the smoked chimichurri braised beef.
I'm doing a Homer Simpson.
Yes, you're absolutely right. The bowls that they make, they are customizable, right? You have options to do this. So, you know, they describe it as a smoked chimichurri braised beef topped with a crunchy vegetable slaw, which is true, crunchy. It's not like runny or anything like that. And boba balls. So get your night blossom. You can drink it and you can eat it at the same time with your choice of base and sauce. The bases you can choose from, they have like a red or a sweet potato hash, noodles, which is what I usually do. I think the noodles are the best, rice and beans, or you can make it a salad, or you don't have to have a base at all. So fully customizable. You can choose what you want. And then the sauces that you have available is a charred green onion vinaigrette, a black bean vinaigrette, or what I get, which is the creamy herb dressing.
Ooh.
Or you don't have to have a sauce at all if you don't want. And you can even decide if you didn't want, you don't have to have the boba balls. You can have those taken out. You don't have to have the vegetable slaw. You can have that taken out. So I love it because it gives you so many options. You can actually have the same thing over and over, but have it different every single time. You just can't go wrong there. And as good as the bowl is, it's just the prelude to dessert.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So this would be our number 7, which is the dessert at Setuli Canteen. I have to slow down when I say that. And I mean, I think I could eat 5 or 6 of these.
Is there a more beautiful dessert at Disney?
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's up there.
It is a gorgeous dessert.
You talk about
we almost feel guilty eating it.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I do
no,
not.
No, no.
We did that episode about food at Disney, and is it better as a picture or is it better tasting? I think this hits both categories.
Very
right?
Instagrammable, very good going down your gullet.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell people
what it is? Yeah. Everybody's like, and? So it's the blueberry cream cheese mousse. It's a blueberry cream cheese mousse with passion fruit curd.
Oh,
which
my
curd
gosh.
Sounds like not tasty,
no,
but
is probably the best part.
It's
actually,
delicious.
Tell you the truth.
It's delicious.
Keep going.
I'm
too hungry already.
So how would you describe it? So it's got this gelatin type of shell over the top of the mousse. And then up on the top, they have like a little piece of like
white chocolate
or mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I guess this passion fruit curd is your base, if you will.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, now I sound like one of those Instagrammers. Guys, you got to check this out. Or YouTubers, right? Like,
I mean, this is
so good.
This is French pastry shop worthy sort of dining here. It's beautiful. Here's what I really love about Setuli Canteen in general, but this dessert helps elevate it, right? It's like you're eating somewhere else. I mean,
yeah.
The way they put it together, yes. The presentation helps you stay immersed in the world of Avatar there on the planet of Pandora in a galaxy far, far away. You're really there because this is not something that ordinarily you'd look at. Think about that. Boba balls in your noodle braised beef bowl. Like, who would have... But it works so well. It's amazing. And then you put that passion fruit curd on top of this blueberry cream cheese mousse that's purplish but speckled with like some lavender sort of colored things, and you're like, what is this? Well, it's delicious. That's what it is.
Yeah. You know what? You just hit the nail on the head, and that's that, again, speaking to the genius of Imagineering and them saying, hey, we're not just going to visually immerse you in this story, but we're going to hit your taste buds, and when you eat there, you're going to still feel like you're in the storyline, right? Like, we've talked about this before. You're not pulling off to the side and getting a bucket of chicken tenders and French fries when you're in the world of Avatar, because they don't serve chicken nuggets and French fries in Avatar.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You get these, you know, bowls and these combinations that are just, you know, a little bit out there from what you would normally experience when you go to your average amusement park or theme park.
Yeah.
And it just keeps you in the story. Sorry.
Yeah, and I would say too that with this blueberry cream cheese mousse, it's not something you would expect to get at a quick service restaurant to go along with the all the other options they have there. Like, this to me it's high quality food. It looks, the presentation is a beautiful presentation for the bowls and for the desserts. The, like Randy already mentioned, the design of the actual restaurant, it does not scream quick service place. It screams more nice sit down restaurant, and just something to not skip when you're there.
Yeah, don't skip it. You make a good point, Ryan. I think it puts you right on the fringe of a advanced dining reservation type of atmosphere, but you get it in the quick serve. So anyways, yeah, let's move on to our number 8. And you mentioned Pandora at Night is your number 1. This is my number 1, and that is, of course, Flight of Passage, right? So this is the marquee attraction in Pandora. It's, you know, when it dropped originally, you were looking at 3 and 4 hour wait times. It was crazy. Now, what would you, if you had to guess an average, what would you say, 90 minutes?
When we
average?
Were there in January, how long did we wait?
Oh, forever. That's the one.
It was over 90 minutes.
Unpredictable. Unpredictable. I think your average wait time is typically about 90 minutes, really. I've been in 90-minute posted lines that were only 45 minutes. I've been in 90-minute posted lines that were 2.5 hours.
It
just depends. Here's the thing, as with all of those, the ability for them to move that queue depends 100% on ride operability, right, which in and of itself is unpredictable. This is one of those attractions that has multiple bays doing multiple things at the same time in order to get people through. If a section of that stops working and they have to repair it, it doesn't necessarily take the entire attraction down, but it will dramatically slow the queue down. And when you add that with folks going through on a lightning lane, it's an individual lightning lane actually here, right? It's not available on the multipass. So when you have people going through on a paid lightning lane, they're obviously going to get that preference and they're going to get shuttled through there a lot faster. So we've been there, and when it happens, there's an announcement. Just be aware, you're in line, but your wait may be longer than what was originally advertised while we work out some technical things. The ride's still going, but it's not taking as many people as it needs to. There's a few attractions that do this. Rise of the Resistance is one. Millennium Falcon's one. Tower of Terror is another one. Those are all attractions that depend on being able to shuttle people through with the whole ride functioning at 100%. And if only a portion of it's functioning, it's going to go a lot slower.
There's a lot of moving parts with this attraction. And like you said, I think when we were there last time, we ended up in the room where you're being assigned your, you know, where the wind comes out and blows your hair, and we sat there for like 1.5 cycles.
Yeah.
Because they were off, right? And the cast members didn't know what was going on. They're like, oh, you guys are still in here? Okay, come on. Let's move to the next room. So I think with the wait, rarely, like if you see, at least in my experience, when you see a 90-minute wait, rarely has it been closer to 90 minutes. To your point, it's either going to be more than 90 minutes or less than 90 minutes. It's never going to be around 90 minutes. But I agree, Dak. This is one of Disney's marquee attractions. It's on the billboards outside when you're driving in. It's something they do advertise heavily because it is one of those marquee attractions that it's unique in a sense that you're flying on this Banshee. It's a 4D effect, and it's a long ride. You're in there for what, 3.5 minutes?
Yeah, it's pretty long.
It's pretty long. So. It kind of hits all the senses, gets the thrill, the smells, the sights, the visual.
Get a little bit wet.
You even get a little bit wet. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's even back up to, I mean, I'm not a big queue fan, but of the queues that exist at Disney World, this has to be one of the longest, but also one of the most immersive, right? I mean, well, you're outside and you're going back and forth. There's a point where you cross over that bridge before you even get into the cave. And again, you talk about ambiance and setting the story and setting the stage. And then as you get into that cave area, you wind back and forth and you're like, okay, I can see where this is. You know, it feels very native. It feels very, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like not very advanced, right? Very
primitive.
Primitive. Thank you. Yeah, that's a great. That is the word. But just it feels you're like, okay, what's going on? And then all of a sudden you turn the corner, and you head into more of a laboratory type of experience, right? And now the whole mood and the whole feel changes, where your mind is blown as you see all the different objects, and of course you see the gigantic animatronic there in the water, and it's just, again, the theming and the storyline before you even get to the experience itself, which is mind-blowing. Just the queue itself is pretty amazing.
Yeah, in a previous episode about pre-shows, the best pre-shows, for me, I rank that laboratory as basically the beginning part of the pre-show.
Sure.
For this attraction. By the way, I don't have any data to support this, but I personally believe it is the longest, like the physically longest queue of the Disney parks, with maybe one exception, and that would be Indiana Jones at Disneyland.
Sure.
Oh,
which
very
seems
true.
Like you're walking for about 7 days before you get there. So,
yeah.
you know.
I'm not a big fan of the queue with this one. I hate the cave system. Because to me, if you're in there for 2.5 hours, which I have been, the cave system just drags on forever and ever. Then you get to the switchback area, which is just past the bathrooms. And you're like, I know there's a laboratory on the other side of this wall. I can't see it. I'll see it in about an hour.
Yeah.
And then you get to the lab. You're like, okay, now I'm close to the entrance.
It's so long that actually you start thinking, oh, I know what's next. And you're disappointed every time you turn the corner. That's how long it is.
Now, the first time you do it, it's like, it's pretty cool walking through the cave system and the switchbacks in the laboratory. But yeah, once you've done it once or twice and you know how long that line is or that queue is, and you're like, well.
What's the longest either of you fellas have waited in line for that attraction?
3 hours.
3 hours. I think on our last guys trip, that's the longest I've waited for it. And yeah. I've just been like, I was at one point on our guys trip, I was like, this is too much. Like, I don't care what the attraction is. There comes a point for me where, to use your phrase, the juice is not worth the squeeze, right? And yeah. So, for me, once you start to get over 2.5 hours on a queue line, I start to lose interest, and it almost infuriates me that
because you're missing out on so many other things.
So many other things.
I'll make my pitch again. Right, this is the perfect candidate for a pretty, you know, good virtual queue system. You need to get people out of the lines so that you can have them doing other stuff, eating, buying, experiencing other parts of the park.
Getting a night blossom.
For a park, by the way, which has such limited hours. Now, it tends to open earlier than everywhere else because the animals are up. But at the same time, the hours are limited because of how early it closes. You need to get people out of there. The very first time we experienced that attraction, it was still new. It was back when it was nearly impossible to get a fast pass, like virtually impossible. You had to basically have a connection to the company to get one sort of a thing. We lined up all the way down at Harambe House, which is the entrance coming through Africa. So we lined up all the way down at Harambe House. Distance-wise, I don't know, it's almost a quarter mile to the queue entrance. Like, it's a long
way. Yeah, it's way back there.
And I think we waited almost 4 hours in total. It was about a little over 3.5 hours to do it. That's the longest I've ever waited for any ride, any place, any time. I would not recommend it or do it again. And by the way, if you want to know the worst part of that was we got there and we really weren't sure. This is still back before there was a lot of information available out on the web and you could plan super well. We weren't entirely sure of the height requirements.
Oh, no.
Our youngest son, he just barely missed it, right?
And wow.
So we wait for a couple of hours just to get to the front of the queue. Because basically, if it's all the way backed up to when you walk through the queue, that's 2 hours minimum, right?
Yeah.
And get up there and find out that, oh, he can't do it. Luckily, my wife was able to get a rider swap.
Sure.
And so we did some stuff. How disappointing for him. But, you know, pro tip to parents out there, before you ever get in a line, if you're a little bit unsure of whether you meet the requirements, go to the front, find the measuring stick, find out before you waste your time.
For sure.
And this is another attraction, too, that you may want to take a Dramamine.
100%. 100%. It's a 3D ride.
It's a 3D ride. I don't know when. This was probably 5-6 years ago. My wife, Holly, it was late at night. We came off the attraction and she was wrecked. I mean, she had to sit down for probably a good 20 minutes and just kind of collect herself because she was about to just spew her guts everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get into the actual experience itself. So once you get through the laboratory, just kind of walking people through it, I know probably 99% of our audience has done it, but just to kind of build why we love it so much. You get into the room where they kind of explain what's going on. We talked about this in our favorite cues or pre-shows episode. You get into that simulator where you can see yourself moving on the screen as he's talking about blowing off all the, I can't remember what they're called.
I don't know.
Antibodies.
Microbes or
something like that. And
germs.
Germs, yeah. Germs too.
Although they blow it on you and I feel like they're blowing more germs on me.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Just a really cool experience. Again, if it's one of your first few times, it's a mind-blowing experience to see yourself moving on a screen and think about how they do that. then as you proceed in, you get onto your bike, right, is what it is. But it's the Banshee connection. Man, the first couple of times you rode that and you felt the Banshee breathing and moving when they bring that back harness up and it gives you those little tingles on your on your back as they tell you they're connecting you to the Banshee.
Yeah.
Just again, a mind-blowing experience.
I was a little nervous the first time when you hear that they're gonna put this back brace on you and kind of strap your calves in. I'm like, I'm not a big fan of being completely restrained in an attraction.
And so by the way, it's actually really, while you do it, you're just looking at a wall.
Yeah.
Yes. There's nothing but a wall in front of you. You're like, what's supposed to happen here?
And you're hunched over.
You're hunched over on this thing. Basically on like on a speed bike, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
but it's a comfortable attraction. It's not uncomfortable at all.
So yeah, so then once that wall opens up and you start to see the image, man, it's just mind-blowing, right? So it is a 3D ride. And as you start going through and riding it, what is one of your favorite parts of the whole experience, of the actual ride itself? If you had to narrow it down to the 10 or 15 seconds that you love the most, what part of that ride experience is each of y'all's?
I know what Ryan's is.
Oh, yeah. What's mine?
Yours is the cave.
Oh.
When you go into the, so you
cave
go into that moment
come,
when
and
the.
And then the smell comes, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The I'm pink stupid. Flowers are all dropping, and
no, I, that's
and the
I
smell
like that one.
Am I wrong?
You are wrong.
Oh,
my favorite part is when it's probably towards the end when you are flying down.
Oh, okay. You're dropping down into the valley.
Into the valley.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
You really do feel like you are flying through this valley, and I don't. Yeah. Again, a
and
testament,
you like, and you like land on the land rhinoceros on, back
yeah.
or something.
And it's just a testament to the Imagineers creating
like
this. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Good.
Anyway,
good.
Yeah. So just how they create this sensation of flying downwards. You're like, no, I know I'm not flying downwards. The machine has tilted me a little bit downwards, and they're blowing wind to my face to make me feel like I'm flying downwards. But yeah. The whole sensation is just amazing.
Yeah.
In the words of Buzz Lightyear, this isn't flying, it's falling.
That's right.
With style.
That's what it is.
And that actually is one of my favorite parts. I actually like the parts where we're dropping.
Oh, okay.
You know, and we're sometimes we're even doing corkscrews as we're kind of dropping, going through it, and you're weaving through the trees. And I thought for sure you would have said the cave because you always talk about you can go and shop at Bath and Body Works so that you can get that.
No,
special.
you're 100% correct. I love the smell. Bath and Body Works. They're not a sponsor, but they do have Pandora scented or Flight of Passage. It's called Freshwater. Yeah. It's a very manly scent, but it smells like.
Which, by the way. Slightly deviating, but exactly on topic. Right now, Bath and Body Works has a scent. It's a Stranger Things inspired scent called the Upside Down that I think actually smells more like the
really?
Cave, even than freshwater.
I'm going to go today.
Oh my goodness. And pick it up. In this instance, now they have a candle version.
Ooh. There you go. There you go. Right, I think
Bath
my favorite
Works.
Is. Sorry. Did you have more on?
No, I'm just saying that if somebody from Bath and Body Works is listening, just throwing that out there.
I like going into the wave. So when you come in and you're like that's always. I'm not a surfer, but that has always been to me like one of those things that I would love to experience is like being in the barrel of a gigantic wave and coming out like. Those guys do pretty awesome. And so I love that visual effect of that water coming over you. And I think you do get a little mist or spritz sprayed at you.
You get a little wet.
Anyways. Flight of Passage, probably our one of our top things that we love the most about Pandora. Cool little fun factoid, if you will, is as you're exiting the ride, if you look, I have a picture of it on my phone, as you come out of if you get the right exit, there's three handprints on the wall there, and one of them's Joe Rohde, the other one's James Cameron, and now I can't remember who the third guy is. I think he's one of the other producers of the movies, and they all three put their handprints on the wall as you're exiting the building. It's pretty awesome.
I'll have to look for that.
Hidden handprints.
Yeah. But anyways. So that's it. That's Those are the top eight things
we love about Pandora.
There you go.
The world of Avatar.
So, yeah. Anyways, give us a like and a follow. We hope you enjoyed this show. You hope you enjoyed the content that we provided for you.
You know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I think going back to our, from the very beginning, if you go to Animal Kingdom and you, because when you go to Disney, not everybody does everything. You know, you see something like, for me, It's a Small World. It doesn't hit the radar anymore. But if you've never, I know Dax looking at me like, like if you've never seen the movie Avatar, it doesn't matter. And Randy, you mentioned this. Pandora is, you can't skip it. You've got to go do it, whether it be in the morning or in the evening. Just don't skip it. Get you some, you know, Satuli Canteen, or as Dak likes to call it, Santuli Canteen. You can't skip this place.
Yeah, absolutely one of the best parts of Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Until next time.
Us a like and a follow on all of our social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. We'd love to hear your comments and what you love the most about Pandora, the world of Avatar. Thanks, everyone.
Later.
Bye.